June 21, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Interim Pastor, Tom Brazell. Sermon title, Gifts of the Spirit, Part 1.
My father left. By the way, before I go any further, if you have not got these things, they're right up here at the bench. There's a whole bunch of scriptures. We're going to touch on some of them and so on. So feel free to get those if you haven't got them yet. So my father left when I was 11 years old. And to be honest with you, I was happy he left. He was not a nice man. And my earliest recollection of a father was someone who terrorized me. When he left, there were two men that came into my life. Well, one had already been there, but he came into my life in a different way. It was my grandfather, my mother's father. Just a fabulous man. And he was not the kind of man that really necessarily spoke a lot about how he felt or those sorts of things, but you watched him. I watched him. And by watching him, I learned a whole lot about how to be a father to his kids, how to be a husband to his wife. And he did teach me how to use tools, and he taught me some very handy things, but the life lessons I really learned from him, I learned by watching him. And then I had a scoutmaster. I was a Boy Scout, and I had a scoutmaster. His name was Mr. Jones. He was, at that time, my best friend's father. And they began to take me camping with them. They would be part of, they had a pop-up camper thing, and they would go. And so often I went with them camping. And again, what I learned from him was how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to have integrity. All the things that were missing in my first 11 years because of the father I had was now being brought to me by these other men. And I guess what I want to say today is to all the dads, grandfathers, uncles, happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. And I want you to understand that it's not really ultimately what you say that affects children. It's what they see that affects children. You can say whatever you want to, but it's what you do as they watch you. They will say, that's good. I want to be like that. And so as fathers, maybe our own children, or maybe we just have a role in little children's lives or in teenagers' lives, and we have that role, we need to understand that they are watching us. They're always watching. And what we do, they will say, well, he did it, therefore it must be okay. So hopefully whatever it is we're doing is okay, because that's going to be what they think. And this Father's Day, I think, is a great time for us as men to just recommit ourselves to the Lord, to be the kind of men God wants us to be. I expect not to be the pastor when this happens. I'm all tangled up here. I don't expect to be the pastor when this happens, but I fully expect it to happen. And that is, as God pours out his Spirit here, and we begin to see, because of that, a drawing of new people, families, not because we want the church to be big, but because we want to impact our community. We want to see people actually go to heaven who are not destined for heaven right now. And so I'm expecting to see children here, little ones and teenagers. And get ready. I just really believe that God is going to do something, and we're not on our last legs. We're just getting revved up for the next lap is what we're doing. We're just preparing for the next thing God has for us. When they come, when they look at us as men, may we always be to them the example that they need as people to follow God, to live with integrity, to love their families. And if that we can do that, we will be doing well. I've asked Pat if he would come. I don't know if he's the oldest of the fathers here. I'm not really sure about that. But he's definitely in that strata someplace. And I just felt that for a guy who has raised children who are in ministry, missionaries, serving God, making a difference in the world, I haven't known Pat that long, but brother, you must have done something right. That's all I can say. The fruit is out there. And so I ask him, men, if you would stand, just the men, I don't care if you're a father or not, you are going to be the example to young people. So just stand, and Pat's going to lead us in prayer.
Thanks, Tom. You got it right. I am old. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we were singing today, and I just reflect on your goodness, but most of all, your heart, Father. Your heart it's so kind, it's so wonderful, it's so complex. Father, I pray for your heart that we can seek it and we can have all the qualities, Father, so that when we react with our families out there in life, it's your heart, Father. That's what I pray for the fathers out there, that we will continue to seek and find your heart the way David did. It's a heart of a warrior. Father, we are, each one of us. It's a battle out there. We're battle for our families, for our community. It's tough. But your heart is omnipotent, Father, as you are. And we just play a blessing on all the fathers out there here and the ones that just couldn't come today. Pray it in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Amen. Okay, a couple of quick announcements. I think you probably all know that next week is our annual business meeting. It's been postponed for several months, but we're going to do it. Now, before we had the business meeting and it was all planned, there were things that were circulated to you. There were minutes of the meeting before. There were reports. We were all good to go. And so you've received all them, and I'm not mistaken, you have received them again. Shay, have you sent them out again? Okay. So next week we're gonna have our normal service. Bring a lunch. It's just too complicated with COVID for us to be preparing food, so just bring a lunch. We're going to, just after our service, we're going to eat together, and we're not going to take a real long time, and then as soon as we feel like we're done eating together, then we're going to have our meeting, and that way we can make some decisions and do some things that we need to do. If you find that you have any questions out of those reports or anything at all, it would just help us if you could email them or communicate them by phone to Shay. What they are, and the reason for that is that we can give the adequate answers, that we would be prepared to give you the answer to the question, rather than say, gee, I don't know, we'll get back to you on that. If you give us the questions up front, then we'll be able to make sure that we can answer them. So, okay, so there is that. What am I forgetting here? What am I forgetting, Shay? Okay, maybe I'm not forgetting anything. That would be unusual. I'm so used to forgetting things, I just figured I must be. You know, it's just the way it is. So if something comes to me in the midst of all of this, I will parenthetically stick it in there and so on. So that's it. Oh, I know what I wanted to share with you. And that is that, as I mentioned last week, we had three applicants interested in possibly pursuing the senior pastor position here at Wellsville, Full Gospel. And one of them, as the pulpit committee met, we just decided that it wasn't a fit. He was a good guy and all of that, just wasn't a fit for us. It just wasn't going to, so that didn't go any further. And then there were two that we thought we just need more information. So I had a meeting on Zoom with one of the couples just this last Wednesday and had a very good talk with them. And so we're all praying about that. They're waiting to hear what God is saying, and so the ball's kind of in their court. And if they want to pursue it, perhaps we do as well. But that was positive. I just want to say it was positive. And then the other one that sent their application in has not gotten back to me. I reached out to them twice, and they have not gotten back. So that's not a real good, but I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a family emergency. Maybe he's on vacation. I have no idea. Maybe he just took a week fast from email. That might not be a bad idea for us sometime. So I really don't know. I don't want to judge it, but I am saying that we're going to just leave it where it is. And if he's interested, he will he will respond to that, and then we'll pursue that as well. So there has been some motion, some movement, and the pulpit committee is going to be meeting soon. We'll come up with a time and a date for that very soon, and maybe we can even get it done this week, and we can go over what we learned in the meeting with the one candidate or the one applicant, and then decide whether or not we want to make any recommendations to the board at that time. And then the board will, of course, be the ones that are going to make the recommendations to the congregation. So there's some steps that need to be made. I see people are moving out of the sun. That's not a bad idea. 1 week it's good to be in the sun because it's cold, and next it's too warm. What we're probably going to do next week is we're probably just going to set up here in the front, and then people can just sit in here. And if you want to come out in the sun, you still can, but I think that's where we're probably going to be. It's nice and cool there, and I just want you to know how envious I am of you all right now. I'm going to stay put right where I am. Amen. Now, okay, so that's it. Today we want to continue on, and what I've been endeavoring to do is really just to bring a good foundation into us as to who the Holy Spirit is and what he's doing. And so far we've looked at the who, what, where, when, and why of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the Holy Spirit's function in our lives. What is he doing in us? We looked at the Holy Spirit's effect upon us. We talked last week about the fruit of the Spirit. But today, I would like to begin, and believe me when I say it's only a beginning, to talk about the supernatural aspects of the Holy Spirit as they relate to us as a congregation, as a church, and it's the gifts of the Spirit. It was funny because if you're looking at the scriptures and everything from the sheet, Judy Riley said to me, she said, "You're not going to try to do all this today, are you?" And I said, "No, I'm not." But a lot of that stuff I'm not even going to reference, but I gave it to you in case you wanted to do some follow-up, read some scriptures and do some follow-up. I'm not going to try to do all of that, but there's a lot there if you want to do more. So you can follow along with me the best you can. Okay, so I want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Okay, we probably all know that, we all know these verses, but let's just read them. It says this, 1 Corinthians 12, Judy, at about 35 minutes, I want you to give me one of these, okay? I used to have a clock on the back wall, but I don't have that anymore. Okay, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Now, obviously, there is a lot in these 11 verses. There is a lot. But I'm just going to try to hit some high points and get into some of the gifts today and maybe finish them up next week, Lord willing. But in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts or the spirituals, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. So being ignorant, that's not meant as an insult. It just says, I don't want you to be unaware from a lack of information or knowledge. I want to give you knowledge concerning these things so that you are aware. I don't want you to be uninformed. And from there, he launches into three chapters that deal with the spiritual gifts, how they are used, how they are governed, how they are regulated, how they're all is supposed to. So 83 verses in all, in three chapters, he's teaching us on this. So there's a lot. And we need to look at it because it's obviously a very important teaching to us as a church, because as we become more sensitive, more full, more anointed by the Holy Spirit, I am fully expecting that all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to be functioning among us. That ought to be our normal expectation as Christians, that we would be moving in the gifts of the Spirit. So it's important that we know what they are, because if you don't know, you might be feeling something, but you wouldn't know what it was. You wouldn't know how to use it. So that's what all this is about. It's really preparation. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul declares over all the gifts and over all that happens that Jesus is Lord. He said, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Remember, he said, you were Gentiles. You used to worship idols. And that's not the way it is now. Jesus is Lord of this place. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals that. And then he goes on and he starts to talk about these gifts and how varied they are. In verses 4 through 6, he says, there are diversities of gifts. Okay, so we can just stop there and say simply, everyone does not function the same. Everyone does not have the same gifting, they're not all energized by the Spirit for the same. There's diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So if one has a word of knowledge, and another one has a prophecy, and another one exercises faith, they're all different, but they all originate in the same Spirit. He said there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but right there we see the Trinity in action. It's the same Spirit, it's the same Lord, and it's the same God that is working with us. I really hope that instead of apprehension and fear, oh no, where are we going? Instead of that, there's excitement and anticipation that God is going to begin to move, and we're going to see a decent, orderly church motivated and moved by the Spirit of God. And to actually be, I don't want anyone ever to come in here and say, is this really a Pentecostal church? No, I want them to know, because God is here and God is in the move, that this indeed is a Spirit-filled church. Okay, so there's diversities, we're not all the same, and we're not going to all function the same. And we'll see that as we go through. We receive from him, and we function in the church as a body. And so no one person is expected to have all the spiritual gifts. Like it's all in one person, and that person gets up and he prophesies, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, works a miracle, has... No, it's something that happens. He places the members in the body as it pleases him. And so everyone here that knows Jesus Christ and has said he is Lord and is filled with the Spirit ought to be open and ready to function in the gifts of the Spirit as God would enable you to do that. And that's what this teaching is all about. What does that mean? Well, let's find out as we go through. But we do see in 1 Corinthians 12:18 that it says that God has set the members in the body as it pleases him, not as it pleases us. We ought not to be envying another person's gifting or anointing. What we ought to do is just be thankful for what he's given to us. Okay, so then he begins to talk about the gifts, and it says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, not to just the pastor, not to just the elders, not to just the deacons, not to just the special ones. It's the gift, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Why? For the profit of all. So that begins to speak to us about the motivation. Before we even move into operating in a gift, we need to understand that if we are anointed to do that, it's because God wants everyone to profit from it. So it's not about us. It's not about our pride. It's not about showing off. It's none of that stuff. It's just this is what the body needs to grow in God. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. He said, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So there's this There's this understanding that as God is going to move, he's going to move in all of us. It's not a performance. It's not like there's the stage and there's the star and let's see what he can do. It's the body of Christ functioning together and building each other up in love. Each manifestation of the Spirit is expressed through human beings. God could do anything he wants to without us, but he has chosen to work through us. And it requires, this means that a gift that is energized or motivated in us, there's two parties involved in this. There is God, and there's us as individuals. It's the Holy Spirit and the person. And I need to say, you'll hear it over and over and over again, these manifestations have nothing to do with human ability, acquired knowledge, or talents. Every one of these things are completely supernatural, and they come from God. Okay, he operates as he will. Now, there's a little scribble thing on your sheet there, and I've labeled it the two switch theory. And I just wanted to kind of give you an idea of how I see this working. Okay, so that's kind of a schematic there. There's the triangle up at top is God, and then that little stick guy at the bottom, that's us. Okay, and there's a line between us, and there's two things there, and they're switches. And so if you look at one, you see both switches are open. So if both switches are open, guess what? The light is not going to come on. The current is not going to come on. So there's nothing happening. There's no flowing. If God doesn't want to move and you don't want him to move, then guess what? Nothing's going to happen. And then there's another one where God doesn't doing anything, but you have your switch closed, okay? There's still no flow there. Okay. The third one, we see God has got his switch closed, but you're in another place. You're not thinking, you're not sensitive, you're not reaching out to God in any way. And so your switch is open, there's no flow. And the fourth one we see where both switches are closed and there can be a flow from God to us because God is wanting to do it and we're wanting to do it. Now we can't control what God wants to do. God is sovereign. He distributes as he wills, and I've tried to talk him into doing things I want him to do, and he's not interested in my advice. But what I can do is I can position myself so my switch is always closed. In other words, I am there. When he closes his switch, and if that flow begins, it's not going to come to an open switch on my side. I'm ready. I'm always ready. I'm always looking. I'm always aware. I'm always reaching out. And so God says, okay, I want to use Katie, okay? We're all here together. But he says, Katie's going to have a word of prophecy today. Well, so his switch closes to Katie, and guess what? Her switch is open. So she's sitting there having a good time in church, and she doesn't really realize that God wants to use her to prophesy, and so we don't get the word, and we've lost out as a body because of that. But that's not Katie. That's just an example. That's not her. Her switch is closed. So maybe she's been there six Sundays and nothing. God hasn't really used her any specific way in any of the gifts, but her switch is closed. She's tuned in. She's ready. She's looking towards God. And all of a sudden he releases a word. She's ready. All right. So that's all I'm trying to say. I hope you're seeing what I'm saying. It's not the best diagram in the world. I realize that. But just understand that our switches have to be closed all the time. And that allows God to pour into us at any time he wants. So did that make sense? Because if it didn't, tell me, because I can go through it again if you really want me to. Okay. I guess either you understand or you really don't want me to, one or the other. But whichever one it is, we'll go with that. So these gifts are for the common good, okay? And we've seen that. The manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And they enable us to minister effectively to one another. This is something that's really missing in a lot of churches, and I guess in our church in some ways it can be missing. But we can correct this. We want the manifestation of the Spirit to be given to us, to each of us, so that all of us might profit. We saw a little bit this morning, and I appreciated it, and it's not like we don't have it at all, but I would really like to see more and more and more of what we might call body ministry, you know, where the body of Christ just rises up and begins to be what God wants them to be. And then he goes through, and there's nine gifts that are mentioned here, and they are grouped. There's three revelation gifts: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Revelation gifts. There are three power gifts. That's faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. And there are three vocal gifts: tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. So what I want to do now for the next few minutes, not too long, I just want to kind of hit these and what they are. And as I say, on your sheets, there's a lot of scriptures, and you can look at them if you have a mind to. But just kind of give you an idea of what these are so that you can be aware. The first I want to look at is the word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom is a totally supernatural insight into the purposes of God, the unfolding of his plan. The word of wisdom is not the same as the word of knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what's going to happen. It's sometimes people say, boy, if I knew then what I know now, okay? What's the difference? Wisdom, understanding. And so God has a plan, and so he might be doing something now, but what he's doing now is because in his wisdom, what he wants to accomplish sometime in days yet to come. Okay, so it's God's knowledge of the present added to his knowledge of the future that constitutes the wisdom of God. And so he can use us in that. It's a supernatural revelation of his divine purpose. And it's not developed, it's not acquired, it's given. You might not even understand, and oftentimes we don't fully understand what he's saying, but he just gives us, notice it's a word. It's not all wisdom. So if you happen to move in the word of wisdom and God, and everybody says, whoa, that was God. We see he's got a plan for us. He sees where we're going. And for us to get there, he's speaking to what we have to do now. And we see that and we're all excited. And then the person who gives it says, gee, I'm a pretty smart guy. You know, and all of a sudden he's given wisdom for everything, even when he doesn't really have it. You know, so it's a word of wisdom. It's not all wisdom. It's just a word. And it may be a word we understand. It may be a word that we don't. And so sometimes words of wisdom come to warn someone of an approaching danger, to deliver them from them. Or, you know, I was called into the ministry in a very unusual way, through a word of wisdom. So what happened was, Judy and I, very, very young in the Lord, very young period, we were sitting in a service, and it was a Thursday night, I forget which one it was. It was an evening service, though, midweek. And our pastor was a spirit-filled guy, but he actually came out of the Methodist background. He was a charismatic Methodist. And the thing about Methodists is that to get them off track is really not easy. You know, they got the way they're going. And so that was kind of what we were used to. And so I'm sitting there, and in the middle of a normal service, quote unquote, he gets up to the microphone and he says to the congregation, God is calling someone here into the ministry. And it means full time, you're going to be in the ministry, you're going to go to Bible school, you're going to give your life to God for service. And if that's you, you need to come forward. Well, as I'm believing it's me. But of course, I'm saying I can't go up there because everybody's going to think, well, there goes Tom again, you know. So I'm serious. I was like, I can't do that. And so Judy, who I hadn't even known was gone, she comes in and she says, you need to get up there. So I did. I went up and people prayed for me. What I found out was, and I didn't even notice, but God spoke to her and told her to get out of the service. So she went out of the service and went outside. And as she was out there, God said to her, I'm calling your husband into the ministry, and I'm calling you to be with him in the ministry and to stand with him, and you will do this together. So she got that word outside, and she's coming in the door. She hears the pastor saying, I'm calling someone into the ministry. She slides up alongside of me. She says, you got to get up there. I went up there, and here I am. So that was a word of wisdom that God gave. And you know, there's been times I've been wondering, why am I doing this? You know, why am I doing? And then I can go back to that day. There's no doubt that was a supernatural thing that happened. And God gave Judy wisdom that helped me step into what he has for me. Okay. sometimes it's to give guidance to someone. I remember one time we were missionaries. Does anybody remember the snowstorm when the Silver Dome in Michigan in Pontiac collapsed? Anybody remember that snowstorm? We were missionaries in a hotel room in Michigan that morning. I woke up about, it was still dark, we were in a hotel room, and had our three kids with us, and I woke up, and the Lord was speaking to me in a dream. And the Lord said to me, he said, take your time, do your best, you'll be okay. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? And so as I'm laying there in bed trying to figure out what that means, I hear something on the window, and I go and I look out the window, and it is a snowstorm like you can't believe. And the ice is hitting, the ice pellets are hitting the window and everything. So we went downstairs and had breakfast, and I asked them at the restaurant, I said, how's the roads out there? They said, they're all closed. You can't, everything's closed. You're going nowhere. So we're eating breakfast. I said, well, Judy, I said, the Lord said I should take my time, do my best, and I'll be okay. So we couldn't afford another night in a hotel. I don't think we could afford that night in a hotel. So we're either going to sleep in the car. So anyhow, I looked out the window in the restaurant, and I asked the people, what road is that? And they told me what route it was, and it was like an interstate I needed to get on, and it was right there. And I figured, well, the interstates are going to be passable. So I said, so we load it up, and we go to get on this thing. And as we're trying to get on it, I feel my car is hitting snow, and it's kind of lifting it up, so I can't get through. So I stop, and I throw it in reverse before I sink in, and I go back and get off to the shoulder a little bit. And as I do that, this truck goes by, this tractor trailer goes by, and he goes up, and I said, I think I can follow him, and I think I'll get through now, because he smashed down some snow. So I got behind him, and I got up onto where you get on the interstate itself, and this guy's going really, really slow, so I go out. You know, a little snowstorm ain't going to slow me down. You know, so I just got out, and I went, and I passed him. And as I passed him, he blew his horn, and he waved at me, and he got off. So I thought, it's like a God sent an angel in the form of a truck driver to make a way for me to get on there. And I said, wow, I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to do my best, and we're going to get there. As we came through, we were coming through Canada. We came as 401 or 403, whatever one it is, and it's turning by around Hamilton. It makes this hard turn. People are going off this way and that way, and I just drove through that whole thing like that, and we got home, and we were fine. You know, it was God gave, again, a word of wisdom for that. What I needed to do to get home safe, it was do this, and that will happen. And so he can use words of wisdom that will give us direction to help us get where we want to go. Supernatural direction. There is wisdom. I've got some wisdom. I need more. But I got some. Usually most of it came from doing things wrong. You know, I said, well, don't do that again, you know. But this is not that kind of wisdom. There's a place for that kind of wisdom. But this is wisdom that comes supernaturally from God. We need to recognize it, and when we recognize it, we need to listen to it as individuals and as a church. Okay. Next one we want to look at is a word of knowledge. Now, a word of knowledge, again, it's totally supernatural revelation of facts and information. It has to do with what's going on now, okay? What is? It's a miraculous revelation. It's not learned or acquired. And it brings us to God's stated goals, what he wants to do. Now, there's all kinds of verses in there. I'm just not going to go through all of those. I'll let you do that. But there's plenty of biblical examples of how the word of knowledge is used. One of the things, one of the ones that I think is most noteworthy is when Jesus is meeting with the Samaritan woman at that well, and he says, "Woman, where's your husband?" This is John 4. "Where's your husband?" She says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "Yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. You got five husbands, and you're living with somebody else." And she went into town and she said, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I've ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And we know that she acknowledged that he was. And so it was a word of knowledge. Listen. And, you know, I found this to be very, very helpful. Sometimes, it doesn't happen all the time, my switch is closed. If I get into a counseling situation with someone, I'm going in with my switch closed because I need God to reveal things. And it's amazing what he will feel. I'll sense in my spirit, ask this question. And that question turns out to be the pivotal point for the whole problem. So God knows, and he needs to be involved. It's so easy when God is involved, and it's so difficult when we're just trying to slog it through in our own understanding. Remember, we took my brother-in-law, who was my best friend, who married Judy's sister. We were best friends from high school, and we're still still best friends. And so we had just gotten saved. We really didn't really know a whole lot of what happened to us, but we wanted it to happen to him too. So we invited him to come with us to this prayer meeting. So we go to this prayer meeting, and at the end of it, I said, "Now, before you say anything, let's talk. Just listen to me for a minute." Because I was convinced he was going to say, "You people are crazy, and you know, I'm out of here." So I said, "Just don't say anything. There's a few things I need to say to you." And it was like God was just telling me this. So I said all that. And then I said to him, "Now, is there anything, do you have any questions?" He said, "You have answered every question I have in the order that I had them." I said, "Well, do you want to receive Christ?" He says, "I do. Yeah, I do." And so we led him to the Lord there. Then we took him home, and I said, "You know, there's more. There's just a little added to the story for fun." I said, "There's more." He said, "There's more?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "There's. You want to get filled with the Holy Spirit?" He said, "I don't know what that is." I said, "But do you want it? It's God." He said, "Then I want it." We laid hands on him in our living room. Bam, the Holy Spirit came on him. He started speaking in tongues. And he's been serving the Lord wonderfully ever since. Words of knowledge. We need them. We're like fighting with one arm tied behind our back if we're just relying on our own understanding. Okay, words of knowledge will help us when we're praying in intercession. I remember there was this one when we were in Africa. There was a time when we all came down with hepatitis. I probably told parts of this story. The whole family came down with hepatitis, and so Judy dropped, and she was very, very ill, and she had hepatitis, and just for fun, she got malaria at the same time. There were no doctors. I'm talking about we lived out in the middle of nowhere, the remote areas of Africa. You got there by flying in or flying out. And so there was no one there. There was no hospital there. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to keep her alive. And basically I'm giving her, she can't keep anything down, so I'm giving her Coca-Cola. You know, it's interesting. If the gospel was Coca-Cola, then the Great Commission would be fulfilled. There's no place in the world I've been where there isn't Coca-Cola. I am serious. Coca-Cola is everywhere. So maybe we need to learn something from them. But anyhow, we got Coca-Cola, and I would take little capfuls of Coca-Cola, and I would give it to her little by little, and she was in bad shape. And about 5 or 6 weeks after this whole thing happened, we get a letter. And she survived, by the way. So I get this letter from somebody, I don't even know who she is, but she knew our name somehow. And the letter said, "Dear brother and sister Brazel, I want to tell you that today God has spoken to me that I need to intercede for you. I need to pray for you, that you are in need. And so I want you to know that until I hear to stop, I am going to continue to pray." And she wrote a letter like that. And it was 6 weeks before, it was almost, if I'm not mistaken, it was almost to the day that Judy dropped with the hepatitis. And so God, on the other side of it, I think she was from New Jersey, from the other side of the world, God said to someone, that family needs prayer. Words of knowledge are very, very important and very, very helpful if we're going to pray for people. And if God, sometimes somebody comes into our minds and we just think, "Well, gee, I wonder how they're doing." Maybe it's God saying, "Stop what you're doing and pray." Because this lady, she prayed for us, and I'm sure if God led her to pray, I'm sure a lot of the good stuff that happened to us or in our lives because of this experience happened because we had at least one person praying. Okay, so that's That's words of knowledge. Okay. See how far we get here. Discerning of spirits. This I think has become increasingly more important. It's always been important, but in the day we live in right now, it's maybe more important than it was a few years ago. Discerning of spirits, a totally supernatural knowledge of the spiritual source of different manifestations or activities. It's kind of like the eyes of the church. Now, some people say, I have the gift of discernment. That's not a gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. It's being able to tell what spirit is behind an activity, a miracle, a message, or whatever. So you're discerning, that's not God. You're discerning something else. And we see in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, it says, talks about the coming of the lawless one according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. I honestly do believe that we are coming into an age when we're going to see lying wonders. You know, the enemy has power. The enemy can counterfeit. And so when something happens, Jesus said at one place, he said, if it were possible, even the elect would be led astray. And I'm fearful that there are some of the elect who will be led astray simply because they say, whoa, that was a miracle. That must be God. No, it doesn't have to be God. It might be the devil himself. The devil himself will work miracles. He has the ability to do it. He has supernatural power. And so somewhere in our spiritual toolbox, and especially if we're in a church where the Spirit of God is moving and the gifts of the Spirit are moving, that we have spiritual understanding, discerning of spirits, that we know that's God and that's not. I remember a story I heard of up in Toronto back in the 90s. Jarn Arnott was pastoring there, and there was somebody there who was clearly, there was a demonic manifestation going on there. I mean, believe me, if you haven't been in a revival, a real revival, you might not realize that demonic manifestations are not uncommon. They are not uncommon. They are. So anyhow, he said to him in an accusing way, to the pastor, he said, "That's the devil." And John Arnott says, "Is he coming or going?" You know, so he said, "Well, I think he's going." He said, "Well, let's leave him alone then." You know, so you know, when our church was in revival back in the 90s, 94, 95, 96, we talked a little bit about that time. There were many times I would say, "No, that's not happening. That's not God." Was I always right? Probably not. But if I felt that God was saying, that's not the right spirit, that's just the flesh, that's just somebody carrying on, okay, well, they got to stop it then. Or that's the devil trying to bring something in, they got to stop it. And so we need to have the Holy Spirit reveal what spirit is behind a manifestation, a word, whatever it might be, whatever's coming, what spirit is behind that. Now, this is not spiritual mind reading, you know, like I see, and you know, it's not psychological insight. I'm not saying that you can't have psychological insight. I'm just saying that is not discerning of spirits. It's not the ability to discover faults in one another. God has shown me, you know. No, its uses are pretty obvious. It's to help in delivering afflicted and oppressed and tormented people. We find out what's going to discover what is going on in their lives by revelation. And there's a whole bunch of places in the Bible where we can see that the discerning of spirits is very, very important to the apostles and the prophets. For what? That's not God. All right. Gifts of healing. We're not going to finish this list anyhow, so we can just pick it up wherever we leave it off. Gifts of healing is a totally supernatural ability to release the healing power of God. Now, I believe that there are people who have a healing anointing, just that that overshadows their lives. I think many doctors and nurses, and God uses them and all of that. But really, what doctors and nurses, they really don't heal you. They treat you is what they do. But God heals you, okay? And so there are gifts of healing. We need to expect and to desire this gift of the Spirit to be operating among us. Okay, and the reason I know that we don't necessarily believe in this stuff, or we don't believe it's energized in our where we are, is that so many times when we actually need healing, we never call on anybody. We just go to the doctor and we tough it out. But the truth of the matter is, there is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's called gifts of healing. Notice it's not the gift of healing. It's not like if you are used in the gifts of healing one time that you necessarily will be every time. Remember the two switches. He distributes it as he will. And so sometimes God will use a person in a gift of healing for one thing, and then another person, maybe this person is great for praying for women who can't have babies, and they pray and a year or two later, they start having babies. Or this one might have an anointing that really is released in the area of cancer or heart problems. So I've seen that, where people have a special kind of anointing that seems to be released in a certain sort of ailment. I'm not saying that's the way it has to be. I'm just saying that's the way I have observed it over years. Obviously, we use this to deliver the sick and to destroy the works of the devil. We need this gift right now. I believe that as we move into more perilous times, that the church released in the ministry of gifts of healing is going to be increasingly important. Some people have asked me, why are there so many miracles in Africa as opposed to here? And of course, I can't give a full answer, but here's one thought I had concerning it. Is that in Africa, they have no, in many places, they don't have medical personnel, they don't have medical facilities, and even if they did, they don't have money. And so they don't have anywhere to go but God. And so they go to God out of desperation, and God heals them. I mean, we've seen, I don't know, I couldn't count how many people God has miraculously healed before these very eyes. I didn't hear about it, didn't read about it in Charisma, saw it with my own eyes. It happened right there in front of me. And why did it happen? Because they were desperate. And there's something about that level of desperation that releases something. When we really need God, God comes through for us. Now it's kind of like I go to this doctor, that specialist, this other one. And finally we get to the end of the road and there's nothing. They say, put your affairs in order. You're going to die. Then we say, okay, now I'm desperate. And now we turn to God. I would suggest we turn to God in the beginning. You know, save a lot of money. Let's save a lot of time of sitting in doctor's offices, and let's believe God together for healing. That we would be a people that walk in health. That He said, "I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Let our soul prosper so that our health can prosper at the same time. Okay, let me see here. Gifts of healing—they're so obvious. So many things. Healing established Jesus' claims. Jesus said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me. It authorizes the gospel message. The apostles said, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servant that they may, with all boldness, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. It's dangerous if we perceive that a person's, and this is happens in every gift. I've experienced people who have misused them or counterfeited them. Every single one. Multiple times in my life. So what is my option? Do I say, because this person misused something, that now I'm rejecting it? No, that's not the answer. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. So he teaches us what to do. He teaches us how to discern it and how to function in it. And then we are safe. And of course, if you have a pastor and it's happening in the church, you would hope that the pastor would be able to address things that might not be the way they should be. And as long as I'm here, you got that, okay? I'm not afraid to say to someone, you know what, I'm not sure that was the right timing or the right place or whatever. I'm not afraid to do that, but all with the idea that we would learn how to move in these gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, totally supernatural, empowerments of God to do what He wants us to do. Another one, and then this is where we're going to end, is that healing is a witness of His resurrection. If he says, and His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you now see and know, yes, the faith which comes through Him, He has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. If Jesus is healing, guess what? Jesus is alive. All right? He's not just a fictional character. Okay. And it says in John 6:2, speaking about how healing will draw people. Man, healing will draw people. In Africa, we worked with an evangelist, a Congolese man, and he had a powerful anointing to bring healing. Powerful, amazing. And when we would if we were doing an outdoor campaign here, this whole area and beyond would be filled. Thousands and thousands of people would be there, and they would come. Why? Because they wanted to find Christ. Not necessarily, but they heard that somebody was there who was in touch with God, who could bring healing, and they would come for that. And I just want to kind of paint a picture for you the way it would work. I'd be sitting on the platform, and I'd be looking out with all this, and this guy would be preaching away, and then finally he would say something like this. He would say, now, whatever your problem is, I want you to put your hand there. So if you're a cripple, put your hands on your legs. If you're blind, put your hands on your eyes. Whatever is hurting, put your hands there. And then he would pray that God would heal. And then he would say, okay, now whatever, if you were crippled and you had, now it's time for you to stand up. If whatever your problem was, it's time to do whatever you couldn't do before. And so there'd be this little rumble in the crowd, you know, just hear people were moving, you could see people moving. And then you would hear a cheer. And they have these things in Africa for crippled people. They're like the bicycle things are like this. And you sit on them, and that's how they move around with that. And so they get around. You'd hear a cheer out over here someplace. And you'd see this wheelchair rise up out of the crowd of people. And then over here, you'd see it. You'd hear a cheer. And crutches would go up out of the crowd. It was very moving to watch God move and bless people. And then people got saved. One after another, after another, after another. Why? Because Jesus' claims were validated through healing. We need it. We need it. We need a word of knowledge. We need the word of wisdom. We need discerning of spirits. We need gifts of healing. We need faith. We need all of it. And we need to end. And there's more coming. So next week we're going to pick up at the gift of faith, which is also a very powerful thing. Would you stand with me? And I just believe that one of the best things we could do right now is, you know, there's a very perplexing scripture when you think about it. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I'll have fellowship with him and him with me." Now, that was not written to the sinner. That was written to the church of Laodicea. And it has maybe a different application primarily than the one I'm going to make right now. But the thing that strikes me about this is Jesus waits for permission to enter. Think about that. He created the universe. Lord of lords and King of kings. And yet he says, unless you invite me in, I'm staying outside. I want to invite him in. I want to invite him in. I know we've done it in different ways, but I would like to do it again today. Father, could you agree with me with all your heart? Can you envision a church empowered by the Holy Spirit, effective in evangelism because the power of God is flowing through us, seeing Wellsville, Allegheny County, Genesee County, New York State, Pennsylvania impacted? Because wherever we go, we're carrying the presence of God and the power of God. Think about it. Not struggling, but just flowing. Our switch is closed and we're ready to respond whenever God wants us to. Father, in Jesus' name, we confess to you we've tried many things And some of them have been in our own strength. And because of that, they haven't produced the fruit that we wanted. But we're inviting you, just like you stood outside the door at the Laodicean church. Lord, if you're standing outside our door, we're inviting you to come in. We're opening the door wide and asking you to come in. And Lord, have fellowship with us and let us partake with you of your divine nature and power. Lord, we pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be upon us. Lord, you prepare our hearts. If we've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord, make us hungry. Give us faith that we could believe for it, because, Lord, that's what you want for us. If we have, but we've gone dormant, Lord, I pray that you refill us, that we be a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit, a fresh flood of the Spirit of God to come upon us. Lord, and I pray most of all that you would cause our expectations to rise. Lord, that we would not settle for the mundane or the orchestrated or the systematized church, but Lord, that we would be part of a church where the Holy Spirit is moving in power and might, and we bow our hearts, we bow our heads, and we bow our knees to your Lordship, and we say, come in among us and do what you will with us, and we will give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Go and raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out demons. Go out and do the stuff. Amen.